Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dax Xavier Josiah, the host of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the podcast. You want to catch up with all of our podcast shows and hear from some of the hottest names in all of anime, comics, movies, and games, such as...
This is Miley Flanagan, the voice of Naruto.
This is Stephanie Shea, the voice of Sailor Moon.
This is Ruben Langdon, voice of Ken Masters and Dante from Devil May Cry.
Hey there, this is Kyle Abear, the voice of Ryu from Street Fighter V.
This is Chris Battle, character designer of Teen Titans Go.
Here's your chance to check out all of that and more on TalkTimeLive.com. TalkTimeLive.com provides all of our ACMG content with new and previous episodes, exclusive interviews, articles, and much more. Visit TalkTimeLive.com and let us help you learn to let go, live life, and love all things ACMG.
Talk Time Live!
This is Tom Gibbous, the voice of Shikamaru Nara from Naruto, and you are listening to ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, and it's not a drag.
It's time for your Talk Time Live exclusive.
You are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
Folks, welcome back to another episode of Talk Time Live Exclusive Rewind. I am your host, Xavier Josiah, and in this episode, this is the interview I had with Molly Flanagan and Amanda C. Miller at the same time. This was the first time that these two have come together to do an interview at all. And I was very happy to do so. I reached out to Molly and asked her to come back. This was the second time Molly has been on the show at the time. And she not only agreed to do it, she also gave me a better offer of getting Amanda to come on. This was around the time when Naruto Next Generations was coming out. They were about to do some touring of conventions at the time. So it was great timing for me to be able to get this opportunity, and I enjoyed it since. And since that time, Amanda has been back on the show, and I've had a great time talking with her. She's just absolutely fantastic, as is Molly, of course. And this was a great time. It's just one of these episodes where I can't believe it wasn't already up on air. Again, when I switched providers for my show, not every episode made it on. So I have archives in my hard drive that I find out, and I'm like, oh, this is not on air. I need to put this on air. So here it is. It is here now. And you get a chance to see my, or hear, not see, because this was way before I started doing video. This was way, like, do I even have a date for this? What was this? Yeah, it's around 2018. In fact, it was November 27th, 2018, if I'm correct, that this first came on. So I got a chance to do this, and it was pretty awesome. And they've been friends ever. We all been friends ever since. So love those two. Very talented, both of them. Of course, you see Molly on not only, of course, from Naruto, but she's appeared in other shows as well. Recently, she's on Royal Crackers, on Adult Swim. She is also on Not Dead Yet as Tina. Amanda C. Miller continues to knock it out the park. And as Boruto, and they both recently did the video game last year, Naruto Cross Boruto Ultimate Ninja Storm Connections, which I really enjoyed. And but here's the very first one here. So let's not waste any time, folks. I give you my interview with Molly Flanagan and Amanda C. Miller.
Here comes a new challenger. Time for your Talk Time Live exclusive.
Ladies and gentlemen, on with me in this very, very special Talk Time Live exclusive interview. I've been waiting for this for so long, and this is the greatest thing ever, because this is the first time ever that these two come together. Let me introduce you for, of course, our veteran guest, the voice of Naruto, but you may have also seen her in Lab Rats as the character Perry. You may have seen her in cameo appearances on Transformers Dark of the Moon, which surprised me. 500 Days of Summer, Shameless, Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs, you name it. Ladies and gentlemen, Molly Flanagan is on the show with us, but that's not all.
Yeah.
Also, as a very special bonus, and I mean special, we also have the voice of Boruto, but you may also recognize her as the voice of the iconic Sailor Moon's teammate, Sailor Jupiter. And you may have also heard her in a lot of different games and God knows how many. And she also has a web series called Ghost and Stuff, too. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Amanda Celine Miller. How are you ladies doing this evening?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for having me.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks for being here. This is quite an honor to have both of you guys, two of my now favorite characters in anime right now. Well, damn it, Molly, you've always been my favorite character anyway, but now you have a son. So there.
Yeah. Amanda's my son.
Yep.
How many times have y'all had jokes like that, by the way?
Not many yet, but pretty
not
soon.
Not yet. Yeah, we'll have a couple conventions coming up together, so I'm sure we'll get to make all the all the jokes there.
To whoever's listening going right now, it starts
to
here.
Boston and are you going to Tampa, Amanda?
I'm not. I'm going to Orlando at the end of May.
Oh yeah, I can't go to that. So, but we'll be at Anime Boston or Comic Con Boston, right?
Right.
Together.
Yeah. Or I think it's Fan Expo Boston.
Oh, sorry, it's Fan Expo. Yeah.
I might be mixing it all up. Don't listen to me.
This is life.
I think you're right. It's Fan Expo Boston in August.
Wait, okay. I think I'm looking it up. Okay, so it's Fan Expo in Canada, and then there's Boston Comic Con. So I was effing it up.
So we're doing Boston Comic Con. I'm not going to Canada.
Okay.
Yeah.
Make sure you are the street. I don't want y'all to end up in like one place that the other person should be, by the way. So that wouldn't be right.
I mean, if they offer a free hotel, why not?
But. There you go. Well, ladies, I got plenty to talk about here, especially because you guys just recently, what was it, April 28th, I believe, was the release of Boruto, the next Naruto movie. And I got to see that movie, and absolutely, you guys knocked it out the park, playing the part of, as a much more mature Naruto this time, the 7th Hokage, finally. And now... Yeah. Amanda's and the family as Boruto now. Can you talk about real quick, for those who haven't seen the movie yet, what is going on in the world of the Uzumaki family in this stage of Naruto right now?
Amanda, take it away. I haven't seen the whole movie. I've only seen the parts that I did, actually.
Yeah, I saw the movie at Katsucon, and then I've been watching the show. They just started releasing episodes, so it's kind of cool. Apparently, the movie takes place... the show takes place before the movie, which is kind of confusing. But, so let's see. In the movie, it's basically Naruto has become the Hokage, his lifelong dream.
Right.
And Boruto's a little pissy about it, but it's mainly because, he misses his dad.
Right.
He grew up having his dad, and then suddenly his dad's being taken away for work all the time. And I guess he's kind of just like, this sucks. So, he's going through the angsty teenage thing.
Yeah.
He is joined up with Sarada, who is Sasuke and Sakura's daughter. And then Mitsuki, who I won't spoil anything, but his parentage is mysterious.
Yeah. Oh, that is true. I am well aware of that one. And it's funny too, because I watched the movie and I really felt bad for Naruto, because Boruto hasn't been through what we see from the fourth wall of what Naruto has gone through. And it was really, really sad to see him. Like, you kind of understand, but you also, we're seeing things in Naruto's life that he hasn't seen, and he doesn't know what he's been through. He's been a loner for God knows his entire life. And it's a very interesting dynamic.
But he's also not the greatest. I mean, initially, he's not the greatest parent either,
No. But then again, Naruto is just a knucklehead in itself, so he's always he's always learning how to be a better person. His intentions is always right, but it just comes out wrong no matter what.
Yeah, and I think that Boruto has a lot of those traits too, it seems.
Definitely. In fact, Amanda mentioned the news episodes. It's there. It's definitely there. Molly, you've actually... I'm pretty sure I'm correct in this number. Over 700 episodes, and that's not including movies and games, which, by the way, a new game is scheduled to come out soon. With all your characters in there.
Oh, yeah. We did it a while ago, so I never know when the release dates are.
They've started advertising that.
Wait, there was one that just came out. It was like an expansion with the Road to Boruto.
That was Ninja Storm 4.
It's a new game. Completely. Okay.
There's going to be another one that's coming out, apparently.
Oh. Hmm.
Yeah, look into that.
I don't think I've done 700 yet. I think it's I'm in around 650 something.
Yeah. Give or take, you know, small numbers.
Give or take. And about, I think, 40 video games or something around there.
40?
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
You sometimes forget every once in a while when you're in the motion of doing stuff. Because, man, you've done plenty, too. So I've seen your IMDb, too. Don't even try it.
But, I'm just saying. She's been doing this. Cause how long was it 12 years, 15 years you've been
14,
doing?
14 years.
Yeah, I haven't even been in L.A. doing voiceover for like 5 or 6 years. So
right.
Miley's got a lot of lead.
I have a lot of lead because I'm an old lady.
Oh, stop it. But nonetheless, I mean, you've seen Naruto since the beginning. You've been that voice since the beginning. How do you feel, you know, playing that character as it evolves to different levels? Because, you know, you're not Bart Simpson. Bart Simpson is still like 10 years old. Meanwhile, you have evolved to like adulthood and now is almost their version of the president.
Yeah.
And I would probably say a better one.
I mean, it's kind of like riding a bike, you know, like it's just sort of doing a character for that long. It just becomes like sort of a part of you, you know,
yeah.
You just kind of focus in. So I don't really think about it that much when I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's only really when I go to conventions and people ask me about it. And I'm like, yeah, that is interesting. But, you know, a lot of the time what I do are flashbacks and, you know, so it's flipping back and forth between him being really young and then a little older and then a teenager. So because I haven't done much of the older one yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's great to go back and forth between the ages. I think that's a real acting challenge, and I like it.
Right. I agree. And unlike, like I said, I mean, much respect to, Nancy Cartwright, who does the voice of Bart.
Yeah.
She's been doing the same level, whereas you actually have evolved in diverse different times on the same character. That's not easy to do. And, like, you don't remember which version that you got to be sometime.
Right. Well, that's, you know, we have directors who help us out with that, which is great.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I bet.
And I'm sure Nancy Cartwright enjoys every minute of her $1 million an episode.
Right.
So she better suck it up.
How about that?
If we made $1 million an episode, I'd be living in Costa Rica by now in a mansion.
That's Seinfeld money at this point.
Oh yeah, it's
like I feel like she could be sopping up all of her tears about not being challenged with her $1 million bill.
Yeah, exactly.
Saying don't have a cow with a $100 bill, like, you know, wiping her face.
Right. Did they tell you, like, or when they told you you're gonna have to voice a grown ass man, what was your first reaction? Were you like, nope? You know,
they never told me. I mean, I just got in the booth to do the game first.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, you know, it was cut to that part of his life, you know, where he has a kid and everything.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting. Are you having me do it? Because for all I knew, they could replace me with somebody who is a man, you know?
Right.
But they figured, because the Japanese is a woman, you know, it's a woman still.
Yeah.
So they just kept me. So I didn't really have time to think about it because they never asked me. I just was doing the rest of the game, and then it, you know, kind of happened.
Right. Well, honestly, I'm glad that they made that decision because there's not that many people who sound like you're literally the American equivalent of the Japanese voice. And it's not many, like, they had to find a different voice for Goku, you know, for Dragon Ball Z. They found a actual, almost close to accurate voice level as the same one as in Japan. And that was a rare one. They got lucky finding you for that part.
I like some of our voices on the show better than a few of the Japanese voices. I love her voice.
Mm-hmm.
I love a lot of the voices, but there are a couple of parts that I actually think some of our cast, it seems more fitting to the animation.
Right.
But that's just my opinion. It's not, you know.
Hey, dub for life. That's all I got to say.
I feel like that's definitely something that there between like the dubs and subs people is that a lot of people who prefer dubs tend to like, I don't know. I don't want to say Americanized, but like,
let me explain. I got a name for those. I call them anime uppities.
I get it, though, because, like, you know, there's something about, you know, the purity of the original version and all that. But I feel like sometimes they're like, why didn't you do this higher pitch, or why didn't you do that more like the Japanese? And I think in America, we don't talk exactly the same. Like, you know, maybe the girls over there do sound like, you know, when they're teenagers, they sound like, oh, my God, I talk like this. Like, I talk like a child.
Right.
We don't do that here. I sounded like this as a teenager. So, you know, like, we have to make some adjustments with the dubs. And I think some people aren't crazy about that. But
yeah, I mean, like, take the laughing thing, like, you know. Like the way the girl characters laugh. It's you know, and I was in Japan and there were girls that laughed like that. But I think it's a cultural thing, you know? Yeah. If we laughed like that, it would sound pretty stupid, you know?
I think it's you know, fans in America are so eager to want to be as close to the experience and culture as possible.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a subset of the fans, because a lot of the fans just don't care. They just like the show, you know?
Right, exactly. In my opinion, like, I've been watching anime since, oh my God, I mean, you're talking like up to Speed Racer and, you know, some of the old stuff from back in the day. And, you know, back in the 80s, the voices weren't culturally inept as they are now, as you guys are doing right now. You guys are more empathetic to the cultural standards. And I think you guys have done a tremendous job in this stage and this generation of, you know, voice acting. You know, I think, especially in the 90s and the 80s, I don't think they understood the ideology of why they had to sound a certain way, or, you know, certain afflictions and stuff like that. I think now people are more educated. They get it. They are more respectful of it. Not to say that they weren't before, but I honestly believe that, you know, you guys have gotten it much more intact now, and it's so much better than it was before.
Yeah, well, I think part of that is that, you know, anime was sort of the bastard stepchild of animation for a long time. Mm-hmm. And with that came maybe some actors that weren't as experienced, you know, because a lot of it was, you know, not union, or where they did it cheaply. They did it quickly. And it sort of progressed into less of the best bastard stepchild to more of, you know, a legitimate, like, form of animation, and people recognize that.
Yeah.
So they took more time in everything, more time in casting, more time in directing, more time in, you know, getting perhaps people that were more experienced in some cases.
Correct.
So I think that helps, you know?
Right. Absolutely. I agree. Amanda.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you this, along with, you know, being Sailor Jupiter, the boy crazy one of the bunch. You also you're now part of another legendary anime. You're with the Naruto family. You're with the Uzumaki family. Now, how does it feel? And how did this come about?
I mean, I think I'm like the casting director for Sailor Moon is the same person who cast for Naruto and for Boruto. And he kind of threw the audition my way, and I've gotten cast as young boys for a while, in anime, but I had never, like, I'd always been like ancillary characters. So in my head, I'm like, I'm not going to be Boruto. Like, that's the title character. I've never been the title character before. So I like submitted the audition, and it was over a month or two later where, like, he was like, hey, so, we want to record tomorrow for the video game. Right. Like, so, like, do you have 4 hours tomorrow to record for this? And, like, so suddenly I was just, like, tossed in there. But it's been awesome. We recorded the video game first.
Right.
And then we did the movie. When was that? That was, like, in the fall, right, Miley? Like,
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then it was announced in end of January. And, yeah, things are just kind of now starting to, like, come out. Like, you know, the movie just came out and the series came out in Japan. So eventually I imagine we're going to start dubbing that. So it's exciting.
That was going to be my next question, too. Have you guys heard when that's obviously it's a no brainer. It's inevitable that that's going to happen. Did you guys any word on when they were going to start production with that?
Not yet. Not that I've
heard. I haven't heard anything. No.
I'm looking forward to that because I'm enjoying it so far.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a chance as a property that another production company could, you know, could buy it instead of the production company that we work for.
Yeah.
So that's a slight possibility.
Does will be opted out of that opportunity, or?
Well, there's always that possibility. I don't think it'll happen, but
right.
until literally until we're recording.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I did the Simpsons movie and I got cut out of it, you know.
Really?
So, oh, yeah, I did it to the pencil.
I just watched it the other night on FX.
Yeah. I did it to the animatronic. And, you know, I didn't find out till 10 days before it opened. I did press for it even.
Right.
10 days before it opened, I found out I was cut. And when they released the preview, I think I was still in it. Or not the preview, the press thing.
Right.
The press.
That's kind of crappy because they benefited from you promoting
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Even though you weren't
in it. Yeah, I didn't do a ton of press because I was a smaller character, but I was definitely a character.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that was just... So ever since then, I've been a little bit more cautious, you know, about stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, Amanda, but...
Oh, yeah. Like, I've been recast in an anime before, and I, like, your job as an actor is never 100% guaranteed.
Right.
Like, even... Right. What was that guy? The first guy who was in Back to the Future before Michael J. Fox.
Before Michael J. Fox, right.
Yeah, didn't Eric Stoltz, I think, or something?
Yeah, it was Eric Stoltz, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Didn't they record, like, the whole movie or, like, 90% of it before they were like, this isn't working, and then reshot it?
Wow.
I think so, or
heard,
at least
I've
some
heard
of the
stories
movie.
About that.
Yeah, like, it's, you know, so as an actor, you're like, okay, sweet, I got the audition. Cool, now I got the callback. Cool, now I have the producer session. Cool, now I have the part. And, like, even then, like, until they've, like, announced it and the thing has come out, you're probably, you know, like, you know, just until you're in the booth. And even then, I've been not fired, but like I had a commercial campaign recently for Good Thins. It was like this, like, it was like the biggest thing for me because we recorded like 13 spots. It was crazy.
Right.
And then like I, the other day, saw that they had taken them all off of YouTube and there was a new commercial with a new voice. So it's like, all right, I guess I've been replaced. So like it can always happen. So you kind of can never really rest on your laurels. And just kind of appreciate things while you have them and hold things loosely.
Yeah. I mean, I did the movie Phone Booth on camera.
Yeah.
And they recorded the whole movie with the voice being, I think it was now, I hope I don't screw this up, but I think it was Ron Eldard that did it.
Yeah.
Who was a big name.
Mm-hmm.
And then they replaced him before it opened with Kiefer Sutherland's voice.
Oh, wow.
Who's the voice on the other end of the phone in Phone Booth. So he's in the entire movie.
Wow.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, that stuff does. I just got replaced on a show that I can't talk about. But and I had done the pilot. I did the redo of the pilot. And I did the first three episodes and they replaced me. And they replaced me because they wanted a real kid. You know, they were like, it wasn't your acting. We just want to have all real kids.
Right.
So
right.
Instead of any adults playing kids, they wanted the whole cast to be real kids. So,
yeah, because they don't always know what they want. So sometimes it's like, oh, we like you, but not for this anymore. Oops,
right.
Sorry. Or, you know, sometimes they love your performance, but they're like, but we want a name or we want somebody with a bigger Twitter following. So there's always.
Now, here's rolling off of this, you know, discussion right here. What is the, because I love when you guys come along and really tell the real side of what you guys do, you know, along with just, it's not all peaches and cream, and you guys do work your asses off to get to where you got to go, but it's, the road is never that smooth. And I think our listeners, especially people that I know, definitely need to hear stuff like that, not to discourage them, but to educate them to be aware of what to go to, but still keep the passion, and you just, you know, be cautious. The question I have for both of you, you both can answer this. What are the biggest misconceptions that you guys have ever been, you know, that people have come to you about thinking of what your craft does?
I feel like one that makes me laugh is when people are like, well, whatever, you guys are millionaires. Like, yeah. You know, you probably have big fancy houses and blah, blah, blah. And, cause like I think Sharamie and like Stephanie
Shea actually she was on the show too and she mentioned that same thing.
Was when people like stopped her at the airport to sign a million things, mm-hmm. That story.
No, but we had this conversation on that too, and she mentioned like yeah those are some of the things that bugs her because people really think that we're rolling in Rolls Royces and Bentleys.
Yeah, it's like I guess that we've been having people kind of stop us at the airport and be like, hey, sign all these things for us. And we know that they're just going to turn around and sell them on eBay.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, it's fine if it's like one or two, but like there's people who actually paid to come to this con so that they could get stuff signed and you're here trying to get it for free. And so when actors are like, no, I'm sorry, you got to go to the con, they'll start being like, well, whatever, you're millionaires anyway. And then they'll like make it a big thing. And it's so crazy because it's like, no, we're just people. And
that reminds me, Molly, you mentioned, we talked about this before a while back when you mentioned Stan Lee. With the time that I met Stan Lee, you know, at a con.
Yeah.
Somebody did exactly that and brought a stack of comics or something like that. And literally, I swear to goodness, I felt bad for that man. He literally did sign them all. Hell, well, line up big time. But I was like, that is just, that's really.
I was just on the plane with him going back and forth to Dallas. I think it was Dallas.
It was the Dallas. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. And he had a police escort.
I blame him.
Both ways, just so that people wouldn't bother him if they recognize him. And of course, I was getting like, you know, in that embarrassing, horrible moment at TSA where you're putting your belt back on, you know, stomach hanging out.
Oh, I'm not looking forward to that.
And saw him and I went, hi, Mr. Lee. And he went, hello. And then turns out we're on the same plane and, you know, he has his own limo and, you know, he had the limo and I was in a different car.
Right.
But, and then at the convention, you just don't see him because he's busy. He's just crazy busy. And they keep him away from the riffraff like me and Amanda. And on the way back, he was on my same plane. And I just looked at him and I didn't say anything. And I overheard him say to the guy he travels with, he's like, if anyone says my name, I'm going to, like he was just pissed off.
Poor guy.
If anyone tries to say hello or anything, do not let him. The guy with him is like, I know, it's okay, it's all right. You know, like, clearly it had been a long weekend for him and he's 90 years old.
He's like 93 and still doing this. This is it's amazing what he does. I mean, I understand completely, you know, what he goes through. But man,
now he is a millionaire, though.
Yes, yes,
that's
true. Is.
That's not a misconception for
no,
him.
No, not is not at all.
Yeah.
But
he's not in the same boat as us.
What is the one that what was the misconception that somebody came about with you, Molly?
Well, the first one is what Amanda said is absolutely true.
Yeah.
Especially as I go out there and I've been doing it for so long, people assume that because they see people like Nancy Cartwright, they see people on Law and Order, they see the people on Big Bang Theory that are millionaires that make a million an episode. You know,
it mentions all of you guys in their episodes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and then secondly, I think that that it's somehow easy to get the work, you know, or that anybody can do it. And first of all, it's very hard to get the work. And secondly, everybody can't do it. And that includes lots of people that we lose jobs to who are TV stars.
Yeah.
They might be terrible at animation. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with a lot of them on animated shows that were awful.
Right.
That's not true of every TV star. I would never say that. But
right.
I hear some movies sometimes with big stars, these big franchise movies, and it just makes me cringe.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm like, God, my friends could do so much better. Like, make the character so much better.
It does piss. It does bother me when they try to get a name just for the name's sake, but it doesn't level up to the standards because they don't understand the nature of it. Like, you know, the ones who put their hearts into it before for like years on end.
Well, I will say it's a trend now to get people that are on shows to do cartoons. So as hard as it was to get work before, it's even harder now for the studios because they do cast names for just your base and people get scale. We all get the same union wage, but they'll, you know, of course they're going to want someone who's on a Nickelodeon show to do it. Cause then they have, like Amanda said, Twitter followers, you know, it's
exactly.
Great.
Exactly. And it's amazing what that darn social media can do to a person.
I mean, the thing is, I understand because, like, you know, I have my web series, like you mentioned, Ghosts and Stuff, Inc., and they...
Say that slower, Amanda.
Ghosts and Stuff, Inc.
Oh, don't worry. We'll bring that up very soon.
And, like, I always thought that was so crappy where I'm like, no, it should be based on talent. Like, it doesn't matter. But there were times where I'd be... Because I just cast everybody from people I knew where I'm like, okay, I know this person can do it.
Yeah.
But then there were times I'm like, ooh, it could be this person or this person. They're both just as good. And then sometimes the deciding factor was like, but this person's got 75,000 Twitter followers.
Yeah.
And maybe they'd help promote our show. So like now I feel a little bit guilty because I'm like, okay, I can see why they do that. Even though, I mean, they've got more money. Like these shows have like marketing money. I don't. So yeah. It's like for them, I don't think they need it, but whatever, I guess.
Right.
That's the
answer. But you're talking about two people that have the same skills.
Yeah. Yeah, you exactly.
Know, deciding between the two of them, not someone who sucks and somebody who's good, but the good right. person doesn't have 75,000 Twitter followers.
Right, exactly.
Right. Now, with that said, and I'm going to go over to both of you with this, because you guys, outside of your craft, you guys are almost renaissance in a sense. You guys go and do other things and try to get yourself out there and, you know, do other crafts of the essence of what you do. Amanda, you know, we're going to talk about this now. I mean, your projects outside of voice acting, you know, goes to theater, it goes to like your web series and such. I mean, let's start with the with your web series Ghost and Stuff Inc., which you are a writer and you portray an actor and a character in there, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I started the web series mainly because I want to be able to do on camera stuff and TV and it's very, very hard. I feel like I'm just like complaining today, but no, like it's hard. It's hard to get representation. It's hard to do all that. So like, even though I have all these voiceover credits, the on-camera agents are like, well, you need co-star credits. You need guest star credits. Like you need this many credits before we'll even look at you.
Yeah.
So a lot of actors are kind of just like, all right, fine. And they're making their own work. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what inspired me to do the show. And, but also because I love Parks and Rec and I love shows that are more.
Correct. Right.
You know, like I would say like a family comedy where it's like, I don't really care what they're doing. I want to see these characters in any situation. Like, cause I love these characters. So Parks and Rec kind of was one of my favorite shows. And, mm-hmm. you know, so it's kind of like a combination of Parks and Rec meets Ghostbusters or Scooby-Doo, you know.
By chance, seen that new one that they have on that channel with John Lithgow? And they kind of do the same type of, you know.
Oh, Trial and Error?
Yes.
No. Yeah, I have seen several of those.
Yeah, they kind of do the same type of comedy, you know, with
like
the
documentary kind of stuff.
Exactly. And I would recommend that. John Lithgow is just, he's
great.
One of the most diverse guys. He can make you laugh and scare the hell out of you in a second.
Oh God!
Yeah,
like a monster.
That show's pretty good. It grows on you.
It does. It really does. And I've caught myself watching it one time, and then I was like, "All right." And then like it just slowly but surely, I kept watching it because I wanted to see how it turned out with the case and everything.
Yeah.
So I got stuck on it. But not only that, Molly, I've seen you in a lot of things too. I mean, you've been hustling hard as well. Seen you in a couple commercials. You've done that horror movie that you mentioned on our last interview, I've now seen the surface of. And you also started a directorial debut, I believe. Talk about that.
Yeah. I directed, it's a fully funded web series. I directed one episode. And in the second season, I'm going to direct more.
Mm-hmm.
Professional crew and everything.
Yeah.
So I had the opportunity to do that. What happened was they have great directors directing it, TV directors, and one of them got the flu, and she wasn't able to direct, and they were filming some of it at my house, and I said, well, I'd like to direct it. I've done some directing before.
Right.
But not in a while, and I was, and I'm still going to shadow my directors from Disney to start trying to look into directing more Disney kind of shows, stuff like that. So the only reason I didn't direct a Lab Rats is because it ended, basically.
Right, right.
So,
but you understood the formula by this point, though.
Huh?
You understood the formula of that show by the point. Yeah.
Okay. Not only that, but, you know, just from doing sitcoms for years and years. But mm-hmm. especially that one I knew back, like, the back of my hand.
Right.
And because it's there's a 100-person professional crew. Like, you got somebody to watch your back and they do all the stuff. You know, it's just sort of, you know, you have to figure out cameras and shots, and that's what I did for this.
Right.
Of course, there weren't nearly, there weren't 100 people in the crew. But I'll be doing some more of that in the future.
Yeah.
So, I ain't getting any younger.
No.
So.
But and then you have a commercial, which catchphrase I cannot get out of my head. Thank you very much.
What?
We got a craving?
We got a craving!
The minute I saw that, I was like, that is gonna click to me.
Good. I make more money.
The imprinting and branding. Gotta love it.
Yeah, I've done several of those. So you'll be seeing them.
Sweet.
You'll be seeing them in Sick of Me. I've never seen it on TV, but I'm part of the Crave Squad.
I'm kind of pissed off on the fact that I can't, that franchise is nowhere near here in Philadelphia. So I hate watching cable and watching, you know, all these really great restaurants or really cool restaurants that I can never reach. That's the worst thing ever. My goodness, some of that stuff looks really good. Like, that just for one day.
Well, you'll be out here.
Just about to say that. I'm like, yeah, Craven's coming. Now, with that said, with you guys being so diverse, and I highly recommend it to anybody because, I mean, like you guys, in my own way, my story pretty much is that, you know, I'm a graphic designer. I'm a multimedia developer, if you will. But I, you know, opportunity just wasn't provided for me, so I had to make my own. I had to go out and try to do different things and experience different things and learn and meet new people like yourselves and such. So I understand that. But how important do you guys think being diverse, you know, be able to have more hats in your field? Do you recommend that to everybody, you know, in some cases, you know, when it comes to that?
I mean, one of the reasons I think we're both, you know, we diversify is partially because, you know, why would you turn down work, but also because we love to act. So if you love acting, you know, I don't see why you'd want to limit yourself. I know some people who are like, I just want to do voice acting for anime. And I feel like that kind of limits you because voice acting for anime, it flexes a different muscle than voice acting for video games or commercials or doing on camera stuff or theater, you know, and theater is my background.
Right.
So yeah, it's like a workout, you know, you got to work out all your muscles.
Say.
Yeah. And not only that, but like, for instance, they'll probably decide tonight whether or not we go on strike. The Writers Guild goes on strike.
Yeah. Which, oh, God, I don't want to hear that.
So, I mean, I support exactly why they're striking. I hope they can avoid it.
From the last debacle of the strike, which I don't blame them at all, but it really did some damage.
It did. It did a lot of damage, especially here in Los Angeles for the economy. Besides... You know, I do theater too, and the reason why we do theater in LA is really not for money at all.
It's for the passion.
It's for our art, and that keeps you, you know, keeps your chops up, like Amanda said, and it's also just fun, and you know, you get to do more acting there than you might be able to do on a set.
Right.
But also diversifying helps you with, you know, your income flow.
Yeah.
If you're not getting much, you know, you want to diversify your career. That gives you more opportunity to make money in different places in your career, you know?
Couldn't agree with you both more. Absolutely, I agree. And I always like to make sure I get this out there because, again, the point of a lot of my interviews is to educate as well as entertain. So, you know, for anybody who rather wants to do it or people who rather think they know what the hell's going on. Yeah. Speaking of the strike, real quick before I ask my other question, the SAG-AFTRA strike, last time we checked, there was a win. It's a really big win there. Is this still going on, or what's the status of that right now?
What was the win that you heard?
That not all, but most game companies have agreed. Is that true? Correct.
Well, we have a promulgated agreement. It's a different. I don't know, Miley, would you say it's like an indie contract kind of agreement for like mid budget, low budget indie games?
Okay.
And I think we've had 26 companies or something sign on for that. So there's definitely more work being created. But I haven't heard any movement on the major
targets.
Right. The big ones that we are striking. Yeah. We haven't heard anything from them, but maybe there is something. I don't know.
I hope that.
No, I don't think there's been movement there. I don't think so. That's amazing. From what I know, I don't know. I don't know what's happening there.
Yeah, that is unbelievable.
It's important because, you know, media, it's all changed. Like, I talk to so many people that don't have TV sets, you know, and they don't, you know. So all this stuff, if we don't work on settling it in some way, it's just going to mean that we're not going to get paid. I mean, everything is pirated already. You know, you saw Orange is the New Black. Somebody just pirated it and released it, you know?
Are you serious? What?
Yeah. They held it for ransom.
Oh,
and the producers wouldn't pay the ransom, so they leaked it. The whole season, the whole new season.
People don't have no sense in this society today.
No, and you know, it's just unfair to the people that write it, the people that make it, people that act in it, you know?
Just for a couple of guys who just sit in their house and do nothing.
Exactly, except for figure out how to...
to hack into things.
Yeah, exactly.
Unreal. What is up next for you guys, actually, as far as, you know, what you're doing? Any new projects coming up?
I don't know. I feel like for me, at least, voiceover stuff always, or like stuff always comes up kind of last minute where it's like, hey, you booked this thing. We're shooting it or we're doing it tomorrow. So I don't usually know what I'm doing ahead of time. But there's a bunch of conventions coming up. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
My first time going to Canada this year. So,
You're going to love it.
I'm sure I will. I'm going to, one of them will be in Montreal, which is cool because I'll get to practice.
Oh my God.
I'll get to practice my mom's French. And so I was like, oh, well, cool. Maybe I can do a panel in English and one in French or something like that. Like, I don't know. We'll see.
You speak French?
Yeah, but I think I'm rusty. My mom's like, yeah, but if you were to practice, I could get back to being fluent very quickly. That's what she said.
Wow.
We'll
see. That's good.
They will love you. I think they will love
for that. Love you.
The French Canadian, you know, community, they're going to kick out of that.
I mean, I hope I don't mess it up too much. Like, you know, I know that there are some words that are different, like some slang that is different. So I hope I don't say anything offensive to anybody's mother in Canadian French.
Yeah, but those Canadian French, they have a whole different thing going on. So
right.
It's nice. It's fun.
Yeah. So I've talked to a consulting guy and he was saying that I should pitch my web series to some online distributors, like TV kind of thing, because that's kind of what I'd rather do than web series. And so that's exciting, but also terrifying to have to like go up there and pitch my ideas. But yeah, and I'm finishing up a play right now at Theater of Note called Red Helen, and it's awesome. And you should try to see it if you're in the LA area.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool. Molly, what about you? What you got going? Well, what don't you have?
Let's see. Well,
she's rolled down like a list that just stretched out of her house.
Yeah. I'm going to some conventions. Tampa at the end of July. I'm trying to get a convention before the end of July, but I think they're all booked up. So I don't know if I, you know, maybe I could be a replacement for somebody or something. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to Arkansas for a convention, which would be fun, called GlitchCon. Mm-hmm. And that's just anime, I think. And then I go to Anime Boston with Amanda. So we'll be appearing together. And I'm sure they'll book us together for signings and panels and stuff like that. That would be super fun. And got some more commercials coming out. You'll see them on the air.
Cool.
Hopefully I'll start doing Naruto again. We've been on a break for about a month or something.
Right.
Or I've been on a break because I was all caught up. Yeah, I was all caught up. So,
Last question I have, and thank you both so much for being a part of this. This is like on a Monday, no doubt. And this, you know, Monday sucks. So they just made my Monday good big time. Thank you both.
Thanks for your graphic.
Oh, no problem. You know, I got you.
Yeah.
But no, last
question.
That was
super cool.
Thank you so much. I mean, when I know the person and I know how to react, you know, that I can click with a person, I know exactly what to do and how to make it work. And it helps that you guys make it easy by looking as good as you do. So.
Why, thank you.
That charm. But I digress. No, one last question. In your opinion, in both of your opinions, why do you think Naruto is so loved by the masses, and why this has like become one of the most legendary, you know, animes of all time? Molly, of course, I'll start with you with that.
I think because I met so many people in these last two conventions I went to. They were really big conventions, and I think people identify with, you know, for different reasons. One, it's like sort of his can-do spirit, or two, that he felt lonely and overcame it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I meet a lot of people that had to make friends and had a hard time with that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people like that identify with that part of the struggle of growing up.
Right.
And I think people admire the fact that he he has a goal and he tries to go for it, you know, and mm-hmm. and then I think also it's just, it's really terrific animation and writing.
Yeah.
You know, I really do, because I don't think that all anime is drawn in the same way. And I think that the concept drawings for all of this stuff is really cool.
Yeah. I do like the fact that they look like they shopped at Urban Outfitter, though. Like, this is the most trendy looking ninjas I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, they're like walking downtown Tokyo.
Yeah.
2017.
Sponsored by H&M. It's like, what's going on here?
It gets even worse or better, depending on how you feel about these brands. But in Boruto, it's even more like high tech and everybody's on their phones. Right. And they're like little teenagers with like the cool clothes. And...
Yeah, I love that they didn't have phones for, excuse me, like 650 episodes we've had no phones. And all of a sudden, we're in the video game and they have like an office and a computer.
matter of fact, one of the teachers has like a visor that looks like Jodie from Star Trek.
And there's one episode where he's like, where's my class? And in my head, I'm like, well, maybe take off your visor. But yeah, it's.
I think they just like the pervy parts.
Yeah.
Really, that's all it is.
That's all it is.
The sexy jutsu.
TNA. That's it.
It is so funny that that is hilarious to see. That, you know, Naruto, the character, doing that and knowing that Molly Flanagan, the actress, is actually saying this.
Well, I don't do the voice of sexy jutsu, though.
Right, but you don't. But, you know, this is like they're portraying the part of it.
I know. It's ridiculous, especially when you hear my voice. You're like, that's assaultive.
Nice. Mom, Amanda, I'll give you the same question. Why do you think that, you know, people, you know, embrace the series so much?
I think it's definitely similar to kind of what Miley was talking about, you know, the kind of the loner's journey. And like, I feel like you see that again and again. You know, you see that in Harry Potter, which was a huge success. You see that in, I don't know, in Star Wars, where Luke Skywalker is just a farm boy and he rides us to greatness. Like, you know, like we love that narrative of like, and I don't know if it's because we all identify with being the underdog. We all,
of underdogs in this country.
Yeah, well, I feel like very rarely do you see people shows where it's like, I'm just so disgustingly rich. No, this life has no challenges for me. This is awesome. End of episode. Like you very rarely.
Yeah,
see
yeah.
It's not interesting. So you want to see somebody struggle and claw their way to the top. And you know Naruto gets there. And I think that's inspiring for everybody who's ever felt alone or ever felt like they didn't have, you know, family or the world was against them. But also, I think it could also be because the show ran for so long that a lot of people grew up with it. So there's like this feeling of like, I grew up with Naruto. Like he is my buddy. That's how I feel about Boy Meets World, you know, like,
oh God. Yes.
You
know? I so agree with that.
Yeah. A lot of people tell me that, Amanda, a lot of people. And, but here's how they say it. And it sounds weird. You were my childhood.
Oh, okay. Cool. Thank you.
Who says it? It could be cute or creepy.
Yeah, exactly. Usually it's awesome, but in the wrong
Uber driver named Sal will say that, like, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
My childhood.
Yeah, it's like, well, don't remember my address then, please.
You were my childhood.
You want to smoke?
Delete.
Oh, my goodness. Well, ladies, thank you so, so much. This has been an absolute treat for me. And our listeners will definitely enjoy this. They've been anticipating this for quite some time. So right now, before we head off, I wanted to give you guys a chance to plug your whereabouts and where they can follow you at. Lady, let's start with you, Lady Amanda.
Lady Amanda. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Amanda_Celine, like that little lowercase line, whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I should have made something easier. And then you can find, I have a YouTube page. It's like Amanda Celine Miller, YouTube, Facebook. Just Google Amanda Celine Miller. There's not that many Celine. There's a lot of Amanda Millers. I go by my middle name, not to be pretentious.
And Lady Molly.
I'm on Twitter. I don't tweet a lot. I tweet some crap.
That is so bull.
It's at Miley Flanagan, which you'll find a link on your Twitter or right on this podcast.
Correct.
And Miley protects me on Twitter. She's nice. She's like,
I got your back.
She got my back. Yes,
and rightfully so. I mean, you both are tremendous at what you do. And I really admire and respect all of the craft that which you put in and all the hard work that you both put in. And you guys are my heroes, you know, in that respect.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Definitely. I mean, thank you, because, you know, part of me being able to have the opportunity and honor of interviewing you guys is to, I also learn from you too. And I also get inspired from you too. Not just from the fact that you're a character's a favorite, you know, that I do, but now I admire you as the people that you are and the hard work that you put in. And it strives me to keep on going with what I'm doing. So thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Not a problem. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a very, very good episode. Screw that. This has been a great episode of Talk Time Live. I hope you guys enjoyed it. On behalf of myself, Molly Flanagan, Amanda Miller, all I got to say is learn to let go, live life, and love all things anime, comics, movies, and games. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. We're out of here. Take care.
This episode of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live is brought to you by Viewfinders Identity Search and Design, your choice for multimedia development for your brand. Visit VFISAD.com and find out how we can make your vision your reality.